สวัสดีครับ Welcome back to another episode of Thai League Central Podcast. Happy 2021. Happy New Year's to all the listeners out there. Our first podcast of the year. Ta Lao here, joined by Tien. Of course, we're here at Thai League Central discussing the recent situation with the Toyota Thai League. The league has been postponed. No games will be played this month of January due to the second outbreak, you could say, in the country. You know, lots of cases coming in from Samut Sakhon, then arriving at Chonburi, coming to Bangkok, and now basically spreading all over the provinces in Thailand. Kien, I hope you're healthy. You're smiling as we're doing this podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm stay home more than I was before, obviously, with the knee outbreak. But I'm doing well. I'm healthy and all.
Yeah, I mean, I just got back from Chiang Mai. I was out on New Year's Eve. Didn't go to anywhere that was, in danger of the COVID situation. And I made sure that, you know, me and my friends were socially distanced from everyone else. So it was a little bit of a scare coming back that, okay, Chiang Mai had developed new cases, but hey, we'll put that aside. Both of us are doing fine. Let's talk a bit about your thoughts on the league postponement. So no games for sure in the month of January. There's been rumors floating around that if it continues this way, they're just going to cancel the league. That's basically what they did for T3 or the third division, where they've just said, okay, if you're the first two teams, then you go to the next round. Everyone else just stop playing. But Thai League 1 and Thai League 2 have gone the, hey, we're not going to play any games in January route. So, Gian, for you, how do you see the Thai League handling this situation? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, it's a really tough one. And if you want to know and hear more about this and read more about this, I direct you to Dale's website, Chonburi FC. They're doing a whole forum on that, with a lot of fans talking about what they think about the postponement. And I weighed in on that. And my point on that forum was basically that there was almost no other option for the Thai League. Because, of course, Thai League players, Thai League coaches are not in a quarantine bubble and they're not being tested as regularly as, say, Premier League players or, you know, American sports, how regularly they're testing. So it's really hard to justify making these exceptions for players when regular citizens might have to quarantine going to some province. I think Korat put up a quarantine, people from Bangkok, a lot of people coming out of the main hit places like Samut Sakhon, like Rayong and Chonburi, often will have to quarantine going to other places. So it's really hard to justify breaking those rules for footballers. But when I saw what they did with T3, I was actually quite concerned. Because I think how they handled T3 was a mistake, in my opinion. There are quite a few teams, you know, just outside those playoff promotion playoff spots where they could actually have put on a run and actually gotten those places. And furthermore, a lot of T1 clubs loan out young players to T3, and they won't see any competitive football now until September, most of those clubs. So that was a very worrying decision. And it doesn't give me a lot of confidence about what the Thai League's T1 and T2 strategy is to exit from this if it continues to get worse. Hopefully, we can contain the virus and within a month, we can have conditions safe enough to play football again. Or the FA can come up with a way to have a protocol in place to play behind closed doors. But for now, postponing a month, I'm not worried. I'm not outraged. What I'm worried about is if we get to February and you still can't go back to normal, what are you going to do? And if seeing how they handle T3, I really hope they have a better strategy for T1 and T2.
Yeah, there's been so many rumors floating around of how the league will deal with this. I spoke to someone inside the FA as well, and they told me that right now it's almost day by day. The cases have not been dropping at all. We're seeing around 300 per day. So it doesn't look promising for the Thai League. And I think another solution that they're handling is they're going to try and push for the February return. I'm hearing a lot from the FA. I'm hearing a lot from people in the Thai League that they're pushing very hard for the return in February. It's going to be closed doors for sure. Like that, you know, first game of the second leg where it was all closed doors throughout the Thai League. And what I'm thinking is there's a really good chance that all the games in Thai League don't get played right away at the beginning of February. It might be, you know, a week or two into February. And then once they get the nod from the Thai government that, okay, maybe you have testing for every single Thai League 1 and 2 club a week before the return. If it goes well, so all negative cases, then we'll have games playing again, closed doors. And then it might transition to, okay, 25%, 50%. But the percentages, that's what I'm concerning, that, okay, this might be a long shot, but teams actually have to socially distance their fans at grounds. You know, again, you and I, we've been so to a few grounds after the restart of Thai League. Fans don't socially distance. You know, it's almost like stadiums can also be another super spreader type of feel if it's not dealt properly. So, I mean, that's a long shot for now, but I'm thinking that Thai FA and Thai League, they're going to push as hard so that there will be games playing in February.
I think what we've seen, and this is looking outside of football, what we've seen is that the Thai government's tolerance for low numbers of COVID cases is a lot better now than it was a year ago. Mm. So early 2020, the obsession was zero cases, and that they refused to open things up until there was zero cases. And I think that after trying that strategy, they realized that the economic damage of that is too much. So I think that this time, a prediction that many have made, that the COVID administration will be a bit more lenient this time around, saying if they are low cases, sure, you can play behind closed doors. You know, I think that's most likely to happen. And I hope that they carry that principle over to football, because we do have some extra time before the league has to end, right? It ends in March, and we can easily drag it into May if we have to and still give the players a decent break before the next season. But if they wait too long, or they, you know, fans could lose interest, teams lose money. So don't give us another long, you know, months long break. Hopefully use this time to figure out a good way forward.
Mm, definitely. I agree with all of that. I don't think there'll be a nationwide lockdown like there was in 2020 again. I don't think they're going to go full on, you know, everything must close. Everyone stays at home. There's going to be a curfew. Yeah. I don't see that happening. I think it's going to be slowly, you know, all the entertainment places, all the social gathering sort of venues will close. And then as the cases start, you know, heading down towards less than 100 per day, less than 50, and then we'll get back to that, you know, normal type of vibe again that we've been having for most of 2020. So, all right, let's now shift to another topic that came up a lot this past week. Transfers. Yes, I'm going to begin with this one. So, Gawin Thamsachanan just got out of quarantine, I believe, one day ago at the time of recording. So we're recording on January 8th, 2021. So he got out on January 7th. Lots of drama again about where he was going to end up, you know, heading back to Thailand. Everybody knew it was either going to be Mung Tong or Port. It shift around. It was going to be Mung Tong. It was going to be Port. In the end, no deal for any side. Let's not get too into why and all the details. But yeah, in the end, he couldn't land any of the teams. And yeah, he's going back now to Belgium, to OH Leuven in the first division of Belgium Football League. What do you make of it? Do you think this is another missed opportunity for Gawin, or do you think it's, you know, it's another journey for him back to Belgium that he should be looking forward to?
Yeah, well, it's a big blow for both Mung Tong and Port. I think Port were looking forward to having a new keeper, more reliable pair of hands. I mean, Warrawood has been brilliant, but I think Port fans, you know, were really looking forward to the deal because it had been building up so long that they were in for Gawin. I don't think Mung Tong fans initially felt hopeful, but once the news started coming out that Mung Tong are seriously in the race for him, that Mung Tong got their fans' hopes up. And to let that down was, you know, quite disappointing, I thought. I think Gawin also brings a big leadership to the back line. You know, I think we've been seeing Chachai and Bellini play pretty decently well. And you know, of course, Sarin Khan has been playing frequently this year. And they're very talented defenders. You know, that's very clear. But they need a leader behind them who's going to shout at them and tell them where to stand, how to defend. And that was missing sometimes. Against BU, I felt for one of the goals, like the players out of position and a keeper could organize that defense, it'd be much stronger. So both sides, you know, would have benefited a lot from having Gawin there. And again, for Gawin, it's the choice going back to Belgium is he going to get to play? Is he going to get to, you know, be a regular or even get, you know, any sort of playing time? And I think Thai fans are still counting on him to be Thailand's number one. You know, people still expect him to be the number one for Thailand. And Siwarak has not had the best season. So the pressure on Gawin now is probably even more to step back into the limelight. Yeah. So it's really important now that if he goes to Leuven, does he actually have enough of a chance to play and a chance to, you know, keep fit, keep sharp, and be ready when Thailand needs him?
Yeah, it's a tough story and it's a tough situation when people mention Gawin and when I'm commenting about it, because he's by far Thailand's number one. 2 years ago, you know, throughout his career, it was always Gawin, you know, since 2013, 14, heading all the way up to the end of 2018. And even though he went to OH for the first, you know, part of 2018, and he didn't get to play, when he flew back to Thailand for that Kings Cup in 2019, everybody was still bagging him as the number one. And when he made that mistake against Vietnam, everything turned. You know, people were saying, why aren't we pushing for Siwarak? Why aren't we pushing for a new Thai keeper? And I think the narrative sort of switched to, if he's not getting a lot of playing time, maybe he's not Thailand's number one anymore. But deep, deep down inside, I think Thai fans are smart enough to realize Gawin's by far the most talented goalkeeper if he plays consistently. There's nobody at all at his level. And there's nobody at all that comes close to the athleticism that he has right now at the age of 30. There's been Pattiwat, there's been Pirapong who can play out the back, who can have all those qualities. But Gawin is by far the best if he gets consistent playing time. And I think that a lot of Thai fans are starting now to lose faith in Gawin because he's not getting that playing time anymore and he's dropped in terms of his quality. And we've seen him make mistakes at the national team level, which you just can't do. So it's a tough narrative for him. If he doesn't get the playing time he needs at OS Leuven, then maybe it's time that Thailand puts all the eggs in the basket of someone else and pushes another goalkeeper to be number one. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think, you know, that Thai fans are turning on Gawin's ability as a goalkeeper. I think they're just, people are saying that if you want to, you know, to be a goalkeeper, a big part of it is sharpness. And you get that sharpness from playing regularly. So I think a goalkeeper is uniquely affected by a long spell out, which maybe other players are not. I mean, that's just my opinion. I'm not a goalkeeper or goalkeeper coach or anything like that. My opinion from what I see is if you're not constantly experiencing game situations as a goalkeeper, you can struggle when it comes down to those crunch moments. Because Gawin in that game wasn't bad. Just that one moment happened and he wasn't sharp. Yeah. And that's what you get from not playing. So I think if Gawin is not playing, it's totally legit for fans to say, look, we have young guys in Thailand who are improving. Pattiwat has been very good for Supaprikan, very consistent. Pirapong has been pretty decent for Sukhothai, right? I think that they have the right to say, look, these guys are sharper. Give them a shot. Give them a chance. And it's on Gawin to keep himself sharp and to fight for his place as number one.
Yeah, definitely. Another deal. Now we've talked about a player who used to play for Mung Thong. I think it's fair to talk about a player who is currently playing at Buriram. Sasalak Hyperkorn, the star wing back there. Of course, he's been getting a lot of attention from teams around the region. And there's been rumors floating around last week. I think a Korean journalist, I can't remember his name, tweeted out or posted on social media that Junbuk Hunyai Mortars were interested. And of course, Junbuk play a lot of ACL football against Buriram. So they've probably seen Sasalak in form before, that Sasalak was a priority for them because their left back position is not as deep as they wanted the team to be heading into the 2021 season. So lots of Thai fans were posting a lot of images of Sasalak and Junbuk and saying, hey, so he's going to be the second ever player to play in Korea after Biapong Piwon, who did phenomenal there at FC Seoul. And it was quickly turned down because Sasalak came out and posted on his Instagram that I'm not looking for a move. I'm very happy here at Buriram. It's my you know, hometown club. I grew up here. They gave me everything I have today. And yeah, he played the safe route. He said that maybe the future, you never know. But as of today, he wants to stay and he doesn't want to move yet. So what do you think of the Sasalak situation there?
Well, to start, I think it's Buriram saying to Sasalak, don't go yet. We need you. I think that we do anything. I mean, Sasalak can say, I don't want to go. I mean, I'm sure he loves his club. He loves Buriram. There's no doubt about that. He loves Buriram. But I think it's Buriram's choice, ultimately. That said, Sasalak, don't go. And you can understand why. You know, they're in a tough situation. They look so much better when he's on the pitch. You know, that time he was out when he got injured after the lockdown, you know, they've been so much better since he came back. And they need points now. You know, they need points. They need to come second at least and win the FA Cup to call it a good season. They, you know, they need to be back in the group stage of the Champions League. So you can understand why they didn't let him go. That being said, I really wish they had, because Sasalak is the kind of player who can do well in the K-League. He's got the physical traits down. He's really tough. And having him play in the K-League would be massive for Thailand. I think he should probably get into every Thailand squad because of how versatile he is. You know, he can play both flanks, both fullback positions. And Jeonbuk need a player like that now. All their fullbacks are aging and there's not enough depth there. He could have definitely gotten game time. And if they now go, for example, Don Van Hau from Vietnam and they sign him instead to replace Sasalak, is there, for example, you know, just saying, if they were to fill that ASEAN quota, that's Vietnam gaining a massive asset, because if you're playing for Jeonbuk, you're going to improve a lot. So I really wish that Buriram had said yes to this transfer, especially since they went and signed Chakit Laprakun just a few days later, who could play as a left wing back if needed. And they could have probably signed somebody else. There's plenty of good left backs around, more defensive left backs if Kamar wants to play a back four, which he's hinted at. So yeah, I mean, I felt that there was the situation and the chance was there to let him go. I wish they had, but I can understand why they didn't.
Yeah, and talk about Sasalak. It's his birthday today, so happy birthday to Sasalak. He's just turned 25 years old. I think that age is a special number, not just because, hey, you're 25, and in Thailand, it's sort of that age where you've fully become an adult. But for him, I think he's entering a crossroads period almost in his career where, okay, you're not necessarily a youngster anymore. You know, we look at Sasalak, he's a youngster, he's Buriram's you know, up and coming guy. You're sort of the main guy now at 25, and I think he's gonna pick where he wants to head in his career, because he's been getting lots of opportunities under Nishino just to play in that left back spot. I think he did phenomenal against the UAE game at home that we beat UAE. But it's almost like it's your turn to pick your destiny and to pick if you're going to shine, or, you know, I mean, how bright you're going to shine. Of course, you've shined bright already in Thailand, but do you want to go and do you want to be famous in Asia? You know, do you want to be the next Tiraton? It's almost in his hands. And I feel like I agree with you. It's almost wasted if he just stays in Thailand for the next few years and doesn't go anywhere, because he's won two Thai League titles already. He's won the Thai community shield competition as well. He's played almost 80 games in the Thai League, played 14 games in the AFC Champions League, over 100 apps for Buriram already at 25 years old. So I think it's about time to find a new challenge. And we know that lots of Thai clubs like to hold on and like to make the most out of the Thai players that they have. But if you go and interview Jay Chanathip or Thiraton or even Thirasin, Muay Thirasin, they all say if they can turn back time and leave when they're 25, 26, 27, all of them will take it. Every single one of them will take it. And I know that Jay Chanathip is entering that age now where he's closer to 30 than his early 20s. But even he said, if I could have gone when I was 21, 22 and be as mature as I am right now, I would. And Sasalak's 25 now, sitting there like, you know, you've won a few league titles now. Maybe it's time to follow the footsteps of someone else and be the next great that leaves the country and makes, you know, a name for yourself and a name for your club and a name for the country. And I feel like it's a missed opportunity here. I think he should have begged Louis Rahm, hey, let me go. And proved himself to Korean fans and the rest of Thailand that, hey, he's going to be the next great thing. What do you think about that? Do you think it's a missed opportunity, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I hope that the current players who are 21, 22 years old are listening to Chanathip and Thiraton and saying, okay, if the chance comes now, don't think I'm still young, I can be comfortable in Thailand and then go push myself.
Yeah.
They should be saying, I should go out of my comfort zone right now. Mm. So the sooner I go out of my comfort zone, the better player I'll end up being. Mm. And, you know, I hope that every footballer wants to be the best footballer they can be. You know, I hope that everyone who plays Thailand wants to be the best they can be.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, then they should jump these opportunities when they can.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk a little bit more on Buriram, but not on, the deals going out. Now the deals coming in. Again, you had a very good chance to talk to Alexandre Gama, a coach that is very close to you. What do you think about the Buriram model? Because this is now the third set of foreigners that's come in the same season.
Yeah, I mean, I think changing a lot is, you know, not the best idea. And Buriram was successful is because they kept the same foreigners together. They kept Diogo, they kept Tunez, and they had a good run. In our interview with Gama, which hopefully will be out by the time you listen to this podcast, or maybe within a day or so of it going up, he said he doesn't want to change much anymore. He thinks these guys can come in and stay for a while. They're all very high quality players. They all played frequently, regularly in the top division in Brazil. Degao, Maicon are very well known. Samuel as well. They all have a Fluminense background, but Degao and Maicon he worked with when they were kids in the Fluminense Academy. So he knows these guys very well. And he also thinks really highly of Brandon O'Neill because, you know, Brandon O'Neill played in Korea and played in Australia and did well in both those leagues. So I think these guys look like the real deal as well. I mean, I said that about the previous players. And I think you will see that. I think you will see Jiddy Kanyuk is absolutely the real deal. I think he's going to be incredible at Korat. And I think Kelich will be incredible at Chonburi. But Buriram changed again. They made their choice. And I think that, again, if these are Gama's picks and Gama gets to use them the way he wants to, they should do very well.
Yeah, definitely. It's a weird one because Buriram's gone sort of the we're going to offload all your players. We're going to max out basically the transfer quotas. But when you look at other teams around the top region, it seems to be a split trend, you know, because if you look at the table, I'll pull it up right here. So BG's gone, you know, top of the league, BG's gone just the main, you know, one change where they have Diogo coming in and Toti going out, right? Mm-hmm. Ports also gone quite minimal. They've only bought in Yannick Bolli. And they've who've Port let go? Ah, Heberti, of course. Heberti.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he barely played, so we forgot. Yeah, yeah. So Port and BG's gone the one-man route. Ratchaburi have just fallen in love with Filipino players, and they have, like, what, four now in their team. Buriram, same thing, big change. Chiang Rai, not really a big change for them. So, again, looking forward with the trend of big change, little change, which do you think will come out on top if you had to predict?
You mean like the table, like the standings?
No, in terms of success.
Oh, yeah. BG are going to win the league and Buriram will come second. That's my prediction if you want that. But seriously, it depends on the club, right? It depends on the club, what they need, how the players are doing, what the coach needs. And, you know, I just hope all the transfers and the changes were what the coaches wanted. You know, that's all I could say. Usually the rule, if you're looking for a Thai league rule or a Thai league trend, the trend isn't change less and you will be successful. It's let your coach pick the signings and you'll be successful.
Yeah.
And give the players the coach wants.
Yeah.
So I think that's the main thing you have to look for. And I think Buriram, Gama got his guys, right? Gama literally worked with these guys when they were teenagers. You couldn't get more Gama picks than these guys.
Yeah.
So let's see.
Right, one. I'm gonna surprise you here, but one new segment that we're going to introduce in the 2021 version of Tidally Central Podcast. We're going to bring the hot takes back. I mean, I've done this
on
my own personal podcast, but we're going to now integrate this into Tidally Central. Gied, I'm going to shoot right now at you. Dennis Murillo is the current top goal scorer with 11 goals. Who's your pick to be Thai League's top goal scorer? I'm going to give you some time. I'll talk you through it right now to pull up the stats and look at the players who are now on top for the goals and stuff. But I mean, there's been a trend in the past, I guess, 9 years now that it's been all foreigners. I think the last Thai player who shared it was 2012 with Tyrison and Clayton Silva, the year that Mung Tong went undefeated. But yeah, as of now, Dennis has 11 goals. Do you see him as the main man continuing this trend, or do you think that someone's going to overtake him?
I can easily see Dennis finishing as a top scorer, especially with Kanyuk and his team now and all the assists he can get from Kanyuk and all the supplies he's going to get. I can see him continuing this run and coming top scorer. And I look at the guys around him. So just behind him, you've got Victor Cardozo at center back. Is he going to keep scoring goals constantly? Maybe. You know, we might see a center back finish top scorer. That'd be a great, you know, it'd be a big reflection of the kind of football Benji play, but it would be interesting. I think
if Cardozo finishes top goal scorer for the season, that in itself just sums up Thai League's season as a whole. Like, that's how crazy it's been.
It sums up that, I mean, to quote Ob, I don't believe this, and I'd like to apologize to Coach Dusit before I say this. And I'd like to tell him that they are not my words, but they are the words of Ob Tactic Times, that he is a glorified Big Sam. Those are the words of Ob. I have the receipts on chat.
God.
And I think if Cardozo finished top scorer, that would be absolutely banter. I don't see anyone else scoring consistently, so I think Dennis Murillo could finish top scorer, actually.
Okay.
I don't see John Baggio scoring consistently because Sukhothai don't create as many chances as Korat probably will. I think they're going to go from different directions now, Korat and Sukhothai. Mm. Samut Prakan are creating a lot of chances. I think Baros Tardelli is in the mix there. But yeah, I think Dennis Murillo has a good shot of maintaining it.
I think Dennis Murillo will finish in the top three, but I have a weird feeling that Heberti Fernandez is going to go ballistic and score a bunch of goals for Bangkok United. I'm not sure about this pick, but I have a feeling that Bangkok United, you know, the little changes that they've been making, I feel like Heberti is going to catch fire here because of how much time he has to work with these players. And I think that one's going to give him the ball a lot. Although for the assists, I'm going to give it to Tarun Sak. I think that he's absolutely on fire. He just got named in the, top 20 Asian footballer lists for AFC. Go vote for him as well. But yeah, I think Tarun Sak's going to get top assists. And I have a feeling that Heberti is going to prove a lot of people wrong and he's going to finish top goal scorer for Thai League.
So about Heberti, and I'm going to attempt to talk tactics a little bit.
Okay, go for
but
it.
I'm not an expert. But before he had Durlay in his team last year, he scored only 3 goals in the first leg. He only scored 3 goals in the first leg.
Mm-hmm.
Then once Gama came and he had Durlay to play off of, he was much more prolific. Right? He scored most of his goals in the second leg. I think he ended up with 11, so he scored 8 goals in the second leg, compared to 3 in the first leg. I'm pretty sure those numbers. I'm 100% on those numbers. But I know he barely scored in the first leg because once he had a target man to play off of, he was able to receive the ball in much higher advanced positions and release the ball much quicker. At BU, he doesn't have a focal point to play off of. He drops really deep to get the ball. And Vander also drops really deep to get the ball. So he doesn't really get in the box as much as he did when he was playing for Mung Tong.
Mm.
And I really hope that BU start Natawut up top because Natawut deserves to be a main striker. And I think the Thai national team will benefit from having a Thai player start as the main striker at a top club. But Natawut is a pure finisher. He's not a target man. He's a pure finisher. His whole game is I'll get in the box. I'll read the space. I'll get in the position and score the tap in. And it's a fantastic, he has got that skill down fantastically. I think he's going to be one of Thailand's best strikers in the future. I think he's incredible. But he's not the kind of striker who brings other people into play. He's the kind of finishes off plays. So I think that Hebrerty will have the same problem that he had under Kirchich, for example, or under Yoon Jong-hwan, for example, where he just drops too deep. I think he'll have that same problem. So I don't see him scoring that many goals in the second leg. I mean, Hebrerty is definitely one of the best foreign players to play in a Thai league, like ever, for sure. But even the best player in the world will struggle if he doesn't have the right system around him. Right. I mean, I could be wrong. You know, I'm Coach Ban has done a lot in his career, and he could well prove me wrong. But I just look at the squad that he has there and the players that he has. I think Hebrerty will do well, but he has a lot of goals to score to catch up to number one. So I still, my money's still on Dennis.
All right. Yeah, we'll see whose take comes out correct in the end. Anyways, thank you so much for joining me again. Till next time, peace.